Shabbat Shalom. And we're still enjoying unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast days that the Father has put together before we even got here. Storehouses full of those days, and he's well pleased with those who are participating in his days that he's appointed to be in his house, around his table, with his family, the way he set it all in the approach that he has commanded us. And this has been, for me personally, a pretty busy week. It's been a week of, I got a bunch of guides together for this great charter fishing event that goes on each year. Past used to be part of it, and they always asking about Pastor, and I tell him how good he's doing, and because Jacob is his brother, and he's there on, and everybody gets together and puts it all together, and they were so thankful today. But going through it after all the years we've been going through, all the training, you know, I remember when I used to go out there before, you used to have thoughts on your mind, how it should go, this one should do this, that one should do that, and real judgmental towards one another. But this week, during Unleavened Bread, I was able to analyze and study and make sure, because in this week's work, I had hired guides that are Gentiles. They're not believers. I have some that's no longer in church, but still I'm affiliated with, and some that are there. So I had to be careful in representing the Father well. What I say, how I say it, loving each other, no matter how much the catch was, what it was. I got on a big group text and I said, y'all did an amazing job today. Everybody appreciated everybody. Thank y'all. You did a great job. All the catches. And every day was like that. And we joked and we laughed. And the pressure was where you would go through a full day's work and you feel like going home and go to bed. You're tired, but it rises up in you. I want to be with the Father. I want to be with his family. And I want to do what he says. And you would drive to get there no matter what. And so I got there that night. I got there the next night. Each person's home. Whether it was right on edge to 5 minutes or maybe 5 minutes late, my goal was to be there on time and got through all those days, had some great catches. And then today, like Sister Becky was talking about, I'm fixing to relate to what Sister Becky had shared because that hit home for me last night. That right there really, really connected. But it's pressure. When the pressure comes. Because it was a really tough day today. It was rough for me. It's probably the least bit of catch that I've caught in a long time. But I kept telling myself, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. And we had a great time together. And in the end, the guys who booked the trip, they said, Chad, you did a fascinating job. All the ones that you picked were perfect. And all of us said, Mr. Bob. I said, listen, it's not me. If it wasn't for Donnie, if it wasn't for Tony, all these different guys putting all this together, it's not me. It's all of us together with every little piece. I said, God is amazing the way he does things. He goes, well, I just appreciate everybody and everything, and Courtney and Jake and everything, that the way it went. And he was so appreciative, and they booked it again for next year. And so I was on my way here. No, I was on my way home after we got finished getting everything done. And the Father laid on my heart since last night about Sister Becky talking about everything that she went through and still going through, but you don't know how it's going to go. And when it does happen, you don't question why. You just got to keep moving. You got to keep going forward. So I kept, out of all the things I've been listening to the last couple days, it's like when she said that, it's like it just cut me to my heart. It went right in there. I'm like, and I just started weeping because it's true. So I went to the story of Job, and I'm going to start reading these two chapters slowly. Because when I read this, I wept. Because there's things that you don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to go. And then the pressure comes. And it takes the pressure to find out what's on the inside to fix it. It has to. That's what the leaven unleavened bread is about. It pulls it up. It lets you see that before, it used to be, this one should have caught that. That one should have caught this. It should have did this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Father's in charge of all that. And so when I'm reading chapter 1 and 2 of Job, Even the Father's in charge of Hasatan. He's in charge of the whole thing. He's the potter, and we are the clay. He's in charge of everything. He's in control of everything. He's the master artist. If anybody's the master artist, he's the master artist of it. And so we're supposed to be the clay, and he's the potter. And as you go through that pressure, you realize that you're really not in control of anything. Your ego wants to be in charge, your pride. You want to get upset about certain things, and no matter if you got upset or not, it was still going to go that way anyhow. Like Sister Becky did. She could have, if this, if that, how, why, it still happened. There's nothing you could do to change it. So it had to happen, and it was going to happen. And we don't know how the days ahead are going to happen. And so I told the Father today, I said, I didn't know how it was going to be with the winds and with the fish. And me and Jack had an incredible 2 days. Last couple of days, we had an incredible time together, speaking to each other in great, great tone. It's been really, really good. But make a long story short, the whole time in my mind, I'm like, I don't know how it was going to go, but it was going to go this way anyway. So won't you be all right with it? And now I was. That's what Unleavened Bread's all about, working on certain things. So in Job, I read this slow. And there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and straight, and one who feared Elohim and turned aside from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And so when you're reading this, you're thinking about this man. He's perfect before Yehovah, and he's got a bunch of children. And I relate to Sister Becky. She lost one. And this one, he's going to lose them all. And so I'm reading it slowly. He didn't expect that day to come. And so it came. And so she said it perfectly. What's going on in her life? How she looked at the Father brought to her from Pastor Becky, the Hebrew word Becky, and everything that it had to say in Job. And I'm like, when she said that, I didn't know that. So I took her word for it. It's all over in the book. And that's the book that I got born again on. When I got born again, when I was on that shrimp boat, that's the book that I read. And that's when I met Scott for the first time. And that book has stuck with me. And the Father's shown different things that I didn't know about it. More better, but I didn't know at the time. But all I know is that guy went through a lot. And I was going through a lot at the time. And the Father grabs you when you're going through something like that. When you realize, I have no control. I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? I got a baby on the way. And so all that story goes. But the book of Job, even now with Becky, and 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him, and his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large body of servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He's got a lot. And his sons went and had a feast in the house of each one, each on his day, and sent and invited their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it came to be when the days of feasting had gone round that Job would send and set them apart. And he would rise early in the morning and offer ascending offerings, the number of them all. For Job said, it might be that my sons have sinned. He's taking care of his part. He's praying for his children. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We get up in the morning before we go to bed. If we got children with us still, we pray with them, and we do our part. That's what he was doing. He's doing his part. He's doing his part. The number of them all, for Job said, it might be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their hearts. This Job always did. And the day came to be that the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yehovah, and Satan also came among them. So guess who comes on a daily basis, each and every one of you and me? It's still the same. Hasatan comes, but we're not supposed to be like, oh, Hasatan might tempt me. Yehovah already knows, and he allows and disallows. He's in charge of it all. He's the one who's in charge of it. It's not like you surprise Yah because Hasatan showed up. He's the one who's in charge and allows it. And Yehovah, and Satan came with them, and Yehovah said to Hasatan, from where do you come? Yahweh already knows where he comes from, what he's doing. He's just questioning him. And he's given us the record for us to read and to learn from. And Hasatan answered Yahweh and said, from diligently searching in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said to Hasatan, have you considered my servant Yob, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and straight man, one who fears Elohim and turns aside from evil? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, is Yob fearing Elohim for naught? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? And you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand, please, and strike all that he has, if he will not curse you to your face. And Yahweh said to Satan, see all that he has in your hand, only do not lay a hand on himself. And Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh. And the day came to be when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their brother, the firstborn. And a messenger came to Yob and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding alongside them, when Sheba fell upon them and took away, and they struck the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to inform you. Strike one, boom. That's one blow. Not just one blow, but here comes a second blow. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of Elohim fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I know I'm reading all this. Today I got hung up in the canes a couple of times. My back's been hurting me this week really bad. I'm like from breaking off hooks. And I come to my wife last night, and that's my helper. She's my helper. I love my helper. I said, my back and my neck. And she goes, where's it at? So she went and got this tiger patch. She put that thing on there. I lay down, and it was on fire. I said, I can't take this thing. And she's like, hey, bear with it for a little while. It's going to feel better. So I went to bed. I woke up in the middle of the night. I had to take that thing off. It was burning me on fire. But I got out there this morning at ease because I finally was loosened up. Thank you, Father, for my wife. Feeling good. And I got to work out there today, and a couple times it was getting edgy. After day four of work, I'm like, and then today when I'm reading this, and you want to get edgy about your back and something stuck in the canes, really. Think about it. Look what all this man lost. And you're going to get a little cranky about something getting caught. You got to think about this. Really. It's really, really small. And this is the stuff that you got to learn to get over. You got to learn to be happy and give thanks. It's going to be all right. And you're going to get better and better. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Kasdim formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them away and struck the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to inform you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their brother, the firstborn. And see, a great wind came from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to inform you. And Yob rose up. He tore his robe. He was feeling some things. He tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and did obeisance, shekhah. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I return there. Who am I but just dust? Yahweh is given and Yahweh is taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. And all this Yob did not sin, ascribe wrongdoing unto Elohim. Chapter 2. Again, the day came to be that the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh. And Hasatan also came among them to present himself before Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Hasatan, from where do you come? And Hasatan answered Yahweh and said, from diligently searching in the earth. What is he doing today? He's diligently searching throughout the earth to put each and every one of us to the test. And I say this every day. I said, I know those trials are going to come, but Father, you say, for these trials, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. But we still got to go through things to learn and to grow in it. His grace is sufficient for us. He knows. And Jehovah said to Hasatan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A perfect and straight man, one who fears Elohim and turns aside from evil, and still he holds fast his integrity. Although you incite me against him, who? Although you incite me against him to destroy him without cause. And Hasatan answered Jehovah and said, skin for skin and all that a man has, he would give for his life. But stretch out your hand, please, and strike his bone and his flesh, if he would not curse you to your face. And Jehovah said to Hasatan, see, he's in your hand, only spare his life. And Hasatan went out from the presence of Jehovah and struck Job with loathsome sores, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And took a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse Elohim and die. But he said to her, you speak as of one as a foolish woman speaks. Indeed, should we accept only good from Elohim and not accept evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. And that's why I'm going to end that right there. So it doesn't go the way you expect or like. And when it does, you don't question why. You just keep looking up to the Father and praying, asking him for the strength and the power and the dunamis to get through whatever it is. And if you slip up again, you ask him again for his help. And he does. He really does. He gives you power. I could tell you this week I had one or two times that it seemed like it was going to be prolonged. But yet when you pray and you ask him, and when he comes, it's so fast, so quick, and so powerful, just like he says in his word. It's like, man, that was quicker than staying in that over there. It was way, way quicker just to go along and pray. Because he says pray. You got to make sure you pray. If you don't pray, you're going to be stuck in that spot for a long time. You have to pray. And your mind tries to tell you what prayer is going to do. But the Ruach and your spirit to his spirit, the pneumaticos to the pneumaticos, when it connects, I'm telling you, it goes past your mind, and all of a sudden it's boom. You got this dunamis. You're like, wow, that's not, if I would have done that the other day, if I'd done that a couple of times ago, you don't realize that till you do it. And when you do it, it really comes, and it gives you strength and power. It really does. But that's why he said you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. And so when the pressure comes, the hidden places start getting revealed. That's what we're going through unleavened, leavening out right now. And the next thing he brought me to was the potter, the vessel, the wheel, the clay. He brought me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Because remember, he's the master artist and he's in charge of everything. We're supposed to be the vessels. We're supposed to be the clay. He's the potter, and we're the clay. Start with the first two verses. When you're reading the first two verses and you're looking at the Strong's in the Hebrew, you see that Yehovah is with me, Aleph and the Tav. In verse 1, verse 2, the word which came to Yirmiyahu from Yehovah saying, and it's in there, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I let you hear my words. And it's et again, Aleph and the Tav. And again, all this week, I said, thank you, Father. The et, the Aleph and the Tav was with me, no matter how it was going to go, what it was going to look like. But I prayed that I did enough to be salt and a light. And all the mishaps and all the wrong, I ask you, Father, be erased and be tossed into the sea. And help me keep learning. I thank you, Father, for giving me another day and another chance to be able to do this again. Because I don't deserve it. Still, throughout the week, if I had it on a scale, I probably did worse than better. And that's probably on his scale, too. He'd probably want us to be more humble than more prideful, saying, I think I got a better score. I think we got a lesser score always. For he is great and he is mighty. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him doing a piece of work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was ruined. Sometimes you just got to get ruined. You just got to get ruined. You just get down and repent. Start all over again. You got to repent and get ruined. And then he can work with you. Like Brother Scott says, you got to empty the glove. You got to empty the glove for him to come in. That's what we're doing. I had no idea I was going to read any of this till on the way here. I said, Father, it's been busy. I've been just listening to everybody else. I've been getting the notes, praying in the morning, praying in the evening. I didn't have any of this till just a little while ago. And I said, wow, you're amazing. I didn't get to do this, and all of a sudden, in one little word, he can give you a lot. That's how powerful he is. He can give you a lot. But it all started from that sister right here. She's really listening, and she really did the right thing. It was amazing. I told my wife, I said, that cut me. It really cut me right to the core. I'm like, wow. That's like the words of Yehovah, straight out of a messenger's mouth. And the vessel that he made of clay was ruined in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. It's his vessel. We're not our own vessel. Then the word of Yehovah came to me saying, O house of Israel, am I not able to do with you as the potter? Declares Yehovah. Look, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now we're getting on a big scale. All of Israel, all who are part of Israel, through Yeshua even today. The moment I speak concerning a nation and concerning a reign, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, and that nation shall turn from its evil because I have spoken against it, then I shall repent of the evil that I thought to do to it. That kind of reminds me when Moshe, wait, Yehovah, wait. Remember when Moshe stands? And the moment I speak concerning a nation and concerning a reign to build and to plant it, and it shall do evil in my eyes and not obeying my voice, then I shall repent concerning the good with which I spoke of doing to it. And now speak to the men of Yehuda and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says Yehovah, See, I am forming evil and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your deeds good. But they shall say, It is no use. For we walk according to our own plans, and we do each one to the stubbornness of his own heart, of his evil heart. Therefore, thus says Yehovah, Ask now among the nations, who has heard the like of this? The man of Israel has done what is most horrible. Does the snow of Lebanon cease from the rock of the field, or the cool flowing waters from afar dry up? But my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to what is false. And that's what's going to be happening this weekend. People are going to be burning incense to something that's false. But his true time is just started. We just started in the feast days and Pesach, coming in the unleavened bread. And we're going to move on to the rest of the feast days as we go. But this is where we are right now. And I'm going to stop right here because this is as far as the Spirit's leading me to go. I'm going to stop right there. But that's where I am, and that's what I had to share tonight. And so whoever's next wants to share something.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm praying that everybody's been having a blessed week. And it truly is a time of unleavening. Because, you know, as Brother Chad was just saying, it's really going to be drawn out in us in this time when we enter in. So we all want to be accounted in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's certain things that we got to follow and adhere to. There's certain things that we've got to be willing to endure. And I was glad that he was led to the potter's house. Because didn't just recently we were led to earthen vessels? and looking at the different meanings of the sex and our ability to want to receive. It was a challenging week for myself, and I say that lightly because, you know, as Shaul said, minor afflictions after being shipwrecked, persecuted, put in the prison, and he calls those minor afflictions. I don't even think mine needs a Band-Aid sometimes. But the reality is we all are going through something, and we all are going to be tested in something. You know, this week, it was the right test that I needed. There was moments where I achieved good responses. A lot of times I like to put a little hot sauce on my attitude whenever things happen that aren't going my way. A lot of times it's at work. Sometimes we want to be a perfectionist. Sometimes we want to be like Yaakov and put our hands and mold things the way we want, but we're the ones that have to be molded. And so coming here, I too was seeking and praying this week. Sometimes you don't get what you expect or what you want, but instead you realize you're being put through a test. So even as I was sitting there anticipating on how tonight was going to go, I was still petitioning the Father. You don't stop asking. So I too have two chapters to share. And it's going to be in Colossians chapter 3. And then the next chapter is going to be Jonah chapter 4. Chapter 3. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I forget I got to move this mic a little more. Thank you. I'm the type of guy, if I could hear myself, I think everybody could hear me. So, but it is a time of reflection. It's a time of getting us out the way so we can let him in. We want to get rid of the below and replace it with the above. And we can see a principle here adhering to that in Colossians chapter 3. And it's only going to be to verse 17. It says, "If then you were raised with Messiah, seek the matters which are above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim. Mind the matters above, not those on earth. For you have died, and your life has been hidden with Messiah in Elohim. When the Messiah, who is our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested with him in esteem and glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: whoring, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and greed of gain, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming upon the sons of disobedience." And you know, the reality is he allows us to have these feast days, these appointed times, to come together, to meet together. But as it was also said Wednesday, it's also for the individual, that we should take that set apart time and reflect and afflict ourselves. Because we have to put away distractions and have to choose to want to set ourselves before him and allow ourselves to be unleavened, to allow ourselves to be tested and tried. I mean, as for what as simple as it is from your local humble garbage man, and I say humble respectably because it always feels weird when you refer to yourself that way, but because I feel like I need plenty of work. But anyway, that's digressing. So my point is this week, I'm thankful for the opportunities to realize where I need work. And I need a whole lot of it. Because even though there was times where I responded correctly, there was times where I allowed certain things come out. But that's the whole point of this time, is that whenever you're being tested, whenever you're going through it, you're going to find out if you had any of those, what I had just listed, still within you. Because at the end of the day, we're not justified by anything. or have any excuse on to choose opposite of what the Father has for us. But he wants us to make sure that we're doing an inventory, checking for the bad yeast, so that way we can continue forward and receive what it is. He's preparing us to receive what it is from the above, the outpouring. And we're on our way to that. Amen. Let's keep moving through this text. Here we go. I believe I was on verse 9. Yep. No. 6. Thank y'all. Because of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now, also put off all these. He thought it was over, but he said, but now, and then continues on the list. Displeasure, wrath, evil, blasphemy, filthy talk from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off the old man with his practices, and have put on the new, one who is renewed in knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him. Where there is not Greek and Yehudi, circumcised and uncircumcised, foreigner, Scythian, slave, free, but Messiah is all and in all. Therefore, as chosen ones of Elohim, set apart and beloved, which that's each and every one of us here tonight, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If any has a complaint against each other, indeed, as Messiah forgave you, also should you. And we're always going to be continually tested. I was reminded of something that I said whenever I was led to this in a previous message. I'm not sure how far back, but I'm reminding of the little funny comment I made about bodybuilding. Because we are the body of Messiah, and it's up to us if we want to make sure that each and every one of us is building each other up. Because it's easy to tear each other down. It's easy to let the old man come up. It's easy to let our feelings get in the way. It's very easy. But instead, we are taking this time this week to look upon the one that was afflicted, that was greatly afflicted, for us to get it right, to allow the Father to mold us into the image, to allow the Father to test us, because he said he will not give us much more than what we can bear. But you don't know if you have faith unless you've been in a good fight. And that's just period. Thank you, Father. But above all these, put on love, which is a bond of the perfection. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be filled with thanks. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with pleasure in your hearts to the Master in psalms and songs of praise and spiritual songs. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Elohim the Father through him. And that is humbling of itself, because that's a recipe for unleavened bread right there. I was thinking about that earlier while we were making unleavened bread and getting the pizza sauce, the homemade pizza sauce ready. So that's going to be the next step in the right direction. Amen. And we're receiving it. We want it to taste good. That's the prayer. So the exciting thing is, because the next step is being able to grow your own recipe. So yeah, I can barely see the color green, but I'm praying that the Father blesses me with green thumbs at some point. But it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to all that he has for us. So of course, I said Jonah chapter 4. And that, as I was sitting there meditating before Brother Chad came up and shared an incredible word, I was reminded of Jonah and Jonah's attitude and how much I could relate to him. And, you know, because it's a lot of times we look at ourselves, and when we look in the mirror, we see the old man. We just see the old man. But in reality, he's trying to show us that he's getting rid of that day by day, moment by moment, so that way you can see who you really truly are. Because it's titled Jonah's Anger and the Lord's Compassion. How many times have we gotten sideways with him, but yet he still shows us compassion? Because he changes not. He changes not. And he stays true. Something that he's trying to teach us because we call him Father. Well, let's read the text. And this is, you know, I just want to say this real quick. You have moments where you want to second guess. You have moments where you want to, you know, your heart is in no longer where it belongs. It kind of relocated to the upper part right here in your throat. And just trying not to let a croak out. But whenever you just really cast everything upon him and trust him, it's worth it every single time, no matter what it is that you're facing. But let's look at the text. And I was still petitioning the Father within my mind. Like, Father, you gave this to me on the spot. If there's whatever it is that you want emphasized, even if it's just a text, pour it into me and I'll trust that it's going to do what it's meant to do. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he was grieved. I'm sure we all know why he was greatly displeased, because he already saw the outcome that he predicted and felt like he didn't need to be part of the process. But instead, I think we should be more thankful that he includes us in the process instead of just pushing it aside. Because each and every one of us has something that he is expecting from us. And he prayed to Jehovah. And he said, please, Jehovah, was this not what I said while I was in my own land? This is why I went ahead and fled to Tarshish. For I know that you are an El showing favor and compassionate, patient and of great loving commitment and relenting from doing evil. You know, it's a very serious moment. And sometimes when I go to chuckle at this, it's more of realizing the state of our mind. If we allow it to get there, we can say things that truly, if he would just do it, it would not be the best case scenario for us. So thankfully, he has compassion on us, even in our weakest moments. He said, verse 3, and now, O Jehovah, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And Jehovah said, are you right to be displeased? See, there's certain matters, and maybe it's during this time of unleavened bread. There's certain matters that we get so displeased with that he's trying to get us to realize it's not about you and your feelings. It's about what I have for you. And then your feelings are going to feel better. You just got to trust the process, amen? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city and made himself a shelter there. Yeah. And sat under in the shade to see what would become of the city. Oh, he's spectating. He's waiting. He's anticipating, but he's still got something leavening stuff going on in his heart. Don't worry. The Father deals with us in a beautiful way. And Jehovah Elohim appointed a plant, and made it come up over Jonah to be a shade for his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah greatly rejoiced over the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, Elohim appointed a worm, which struck the plant so that it withered. And it came to be when the sun came up that Elohim appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun struck on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint and asked for his life to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Well, there we go again. I think sometimes if we were honest, whenever we get a little discomfort, whenever our plant gets hit by the worm, we might get a little ahead of ourselves with this, with our mouth. Because we know in Colossians, what we were just reading, it said, put away the wicked tongue. Put away the wicked speech. Because that is an open door to pride and getting puffed up. The reality is, we need to be thankful for whenever the plant gets struck by the worm. And we just got to allow the Father to do what it is that He knows is best for our life, so that way we can continue to grow. But Elohim said to Jonah, have you rightly become displeased over the plant? And he said, I have rightly become displeased, even to death. And Jehovah said, you felt sorry. Sometimes I adapt different accents. You'll have to forgive me. You felt sorry for the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pardon Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 beings who have not known their right hand from their left hand, and much cattle? So I believe that the Father led me into that direction last minute to just really emphasize on the fact that He is compassionate and He loves us. And hopefully during this time, during this week, whatever we were tested in, whether we passed or failed, we can either take it with us and reflect upon it and allow Him to actually help us remove whatever leaven that we have within us. Because He's the one that wants to mold us. And I think that's incredible, because I instantly was reminded of Leviticus 14. We don't have to go there because it's recent, it's fresh. But the earthen vessels, each and every one of us here had leprosy. And it's a continual effort to make sure that we don't end up back outside the camp, because we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But that's all I have. I'm thankful for it. And whatever the Father has for us next, amen.
Well, we're going to get a triple tonight, huh? Oh, boy. Well, let me. Oh, yeah. It's okay. Well, here we go. Shabbat Shalom. Back to Genesis 42:23. Back to our Torah portion.
We just learned a little something about Colossians and just about in Jonah. So I'm going to share what was in my notes from this morning. I think it's going to tie in very well.
Let me get to my notes. Just give me a split second. Probably not to keep you long, but you never know when something will just come to you, not fall on your lap. I know that would be an understatement, but I think this is going to help put a little icing on the cake here.
And in verse 23 of Genesis 42, this is back in our Torah portion. And they did not know that Yosef understood them, for he spoke to them, through an interpreter. Now, we probably wouldn't think much of that verse of scripture right there, you know, because we know English, what an interpreter is. Even though Yosef knew what they were saying, he would just playing that role, as we know, because he's testing his brothers. The word interpreter, if we look at it in the Hebrew, is H3887. It's the word lutz. A primitive root to make mouth at. That is to scoff. Hence, from the effort to pronounce a foreign language, to interpret, or generally intercede, ambassador, have in derision, interpret, make a mock, mocker, scorner, scornful teacher. Where it really gets interesting is when we dig into the ancient Hebrew. For some reason, the ancient Hebrew, I said, you know, this morning, I just, okay, just a little something I just wanted to look at. You know, yeah, if you just show me, if you direct me, show me. His Brown Driver's Brig definition is to scorn, make mouths, or talk arrogantly. Now, we just learned a little something about it in Colossians about that. And about Yonah, his speech. And during this time of unleavened bread, it's been a test for our mouth, our speech. And it's one thing we learn is to scorn, to mock, derail, or deride. I'm sorry, deride. What I'd like to look at is, and there's a few more other words. In the ancient Hebrew, it's scorn or interpret. The picture graph, of course, is the lamed, represents authority and the tongue as the authority. And the zadi is a picture of a man on his side representing trouble. Combined, these mean trouble, tongue of trouble. Ain't that something? How we just kind of went on that little roll here tonight, and this is what my mind, this is where, I was just showing it to my wife. I said, look at this, what I was looking at this morning. And here we go, because we learned, just put filthy talk away from your mouth and all these things, how speech comes out. You know, look, we can start here with just our spouse. More or less, our brothers or our sisters and people that we work with, whether they're Jew or Gentiles, it doesn't matter. Because when I go to work, I work with a bunch of guys. Trust me, their speech is not up to par where I like it. But I have to contend with them. I have to deal with them. But my speech is what counts. Because who I'm representing, when I have these tzitzis on my side, and when they ask me, what are these things? I tell them they're reminders to me. Because I can't say what I want to say. Or I can't act the way I want to act. The sound of one speaking foreign language to the mocking of others' speech. Another's speech. So we know that's not Yosef's way of handling business right there. But when we look at the definition, it should bring reminders to us, you know, not when we're inside these four walls, it's when we're outside the wall, in the work area, who we represent, how's our attitude toward one another, how's our speech. I noticed this little trend here tonight. So I said, well, you know what? I might as well jump on this bandwagon. Because trouble of the tongue, tongue of trouble. And the Bible speaks about that. A tongue with no man can tame, but he contains it. And I'm so glad we're on this. But let me just read a couple of definitions to you. A scoffer. He said, well, what? Because this morning, there is 20. What did I wait after? The 27 verses when he talks about that, on the word lutes. And I read every one of them this morning. I went through the whole, a lot of them, most of them in Proverbs. And it teaches us what not to do. It gives us warning. That's what I mean. I don't know. I thought about today, you know, if yeah, when Yah gives you something, and like Ezekiel, you're supposed to warn the people. If not, their blood is on your hands. So there's no sense to me to hold back this information. You know, so you can take it, you know, people can take it like they want it. But a scoffer, but I'm going to be the one who warns the people and tells. That way, if something happens, you're going to say, well, nobody told me. Well, your blood is on your own head. Because why? These blood was required on the brother. His blood is on our hands. What they done to their brother? They talk arrogantly to him. They don't know when they threw him in the pit, they'll tell him what they was saying. And mocking him. Anyway, a scoffer is a person who mocks or ridicules something, often religion or moral values, with contempt or derision. They are known for their disrespectful, and often, chemical attitude. I'm sorry, I don't know what I even wrote there. Towards belief or principles. Look, some people are going to scoff at you for what you stand up for. Because you're not taking part of the celebration that's happening outside these walls tonight. You know, I was just telling Pastor, somebody asked me today, you know, what y'all doing at the church every night like that? People's watching. And I said, well, we're having the festival of unleavened bread. And that's what this passed over his head, because he had no idea what I was talking about. So I tried to just reach him on a level, just keep it brief. But, you know, unless you can sit, it's hard to explain unleavened bread over the phone. So unless somebody really, you can time to share with them, show them. So maybe they'll get the opportunity to knock again. But this is what a scoffer does. He'll scoff, because trust me, I hear it in the outside world. And like I told a brother, like I told a fellow worker, I said, don't matter if you laugh at me or if you curse at me. It's fine. It's okay. I'm still going to be who I am. I'm not going to change because you do these things or you say these things. That shouldn't change me. Because we got examples of that when they cursed the King David. He said, y'all give him a mouth to curse, let him curse. We'll deal with him later. So look, these things, I rehearse these things in my head because I don't want to be a scoffer or a mocker. Because that's what this word goes to when they say they talk about interpreter. Another word was they use in there was scorn. Scorn is open dislike and disrespectful or mockery, often mixed with indignation. That's a big word. Indignation is nasty. It's also an expression or contempt or derision. And also an object of extreme disdain, contempt, or derision, something contemptible. So as I was, like I said, as I was digging into it, I didn't finish with this subject because I kind of got on a hot trail, and then the trail stayed hot. I just got off of it because work to do stuff around the house. But I was on this trail just so I look at the word interpreter. And this goes deep because when you go to start reading every verse that it points to, and he's talking about how wine is a mocker. And that was one of my, I was going to put this in my notes because in 2016, you know, we heard the message on our Shabbat service here. That's one of the verses that the church world uses. Well, they don't drink no wine. They can't drink no wine. They brother, they want Welch's. You got to go back and listen to that. How are you going to explain to Yeshua, we want the Welch's. We don't want the wine because we lost the value of it. That's why we didn't drink it, or that's why they don't drink it. If it says wine, let's just drink the wine. But be respectable about it. So that message really touched me. And it went along with all this because we know in Proverbs, over excess wine or strong drink, it talks about that. It talks about how wine is a mocker. I've seen people that mock. I've done it. It says strong drink is raging. You drink that 190 bulletproof, I like to call it. You take on the world. And that's what it does, you know. So this interpreter, it'll lead you down a path to where, let me tell you, it'll set you down because a lot of verses tie into that on how we should act because we our mouth, our tongue. And so I just thought that was so fitting tonight that it started off with that with Brother Chad, and Brother Rob went on to that with Yonah, because Yonah, what was Yonah say? I'd rather die than live. Really? I want to live. Look, if I can live to be 100, I want to enjoy every day of it. And if you want to grace me with 110, like yourself, I'll go to 110 and be happy. I might have squishy skin, but it's okay. I'm going to trust him. So look, enjoy the year that we have. But our speech, our tongue, this subject, I wish I could have finished. I wish I didn't. It probably because I knew I wouldn't. I wasn't going to be here to speak tonight, so I was kind of pushing this toward next week. But being they open the floor like this, I'm going to share just this little piece of this interpreter that we just because we read in English, you know, we probably don't give much thought to go look at it in the Hebrew. But how many of the Hebrew, it'll lead you on a path to where, look, you can, that's just that one word right there with 27 verses that you can go to, and especially the Isaiah, the last three ones in Isaiah, it is beautiful. It really is. So I challenge you. Just like I said, we got to take our time, slow down, and this is what we're doing. We're taking it apart verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. So this stuff, little stuff takes time. to do. So I didn't get a chance to finish it, but the word is lutes, and it just, it's the trouble of the tongue. The tongue, let me make sure I get this right before I say it again. Tongue of trouble. I mean, you know, that little member in the Bible, the scripture talk about that, how it's unruly. It has to rule. It has a ruler. We can't control it. But the one, that blood that applies to our life, that's the way it controls, so it doesn't get out of hand. And so anyway, oh boy. So anybody else has something to add to that on the tongue, let me tell you, this is really powerful.